Thank you so much, Wes, Jane. Beautiful song, wonderful message. It's one that certainly speaks to our heart today. Some of you have probably had the experience of siphoning gas out of a gas tank or into another container. You've had that experience. If you were fortunate, you had one of those little tubes that you put into the tank, and then you have the little squeezy thing on the end of it that kind of gets the siphoning process started. But if, like me, you may have had the experience where you don't have that little squeezy thing, and you have to kind of put your mouth on the other end of the tube and kind of get the siphoning process started. I know you're thinking, where's he going with this, right? Well, so this week, I read a very interesting news story. It was about a gang of would-be gasoline thieves in Australia. They were trying to siphon fuel from a parked tourist bus. So they hurriedly put the end of the tube into the tank, and they began sucking on the other end to get the siphoning process started. But there was a problem, and it was a big problem. The news story said that accidentally they put the tap of the tube into the sewage tank instead of the gasoline tank. Well, my favorite line of the entire article was the very last sentence. It said, "Police said thieves fled with a somewhat bitter taste in their mouths." Well, I don't know about you, but when I think about or when the topic or the thought of self-assurance or maybe cockiness comes to mind, it leaves a bitter taste in my mouth. It's something that's unpleasant. It's something we don't like to see in other people, but maybe, sometimes we don't recognize it in ourselves. I invite you to hear our text for this morning and think about this topic of wearing the mask of self-assurance. Our text is Luke chapter 18. Again, as was the case last week, Jesus is telling a story, a parable, that has some important words for us. Luke chapter 18, beginning verse 9. "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all of those who exalt themselves, they will be humbled. And those who humble themselves, they will be exalted." God bless the reading of this word today. I love the way that the new Bible, the Immerse Bible, I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but I received a copy of it a while back. I love the way the Immerse Bible phrases the very first sentence of our text for today. Listen to its translation. Jesus told this story to some who had, quote, great confidence in their own righteousness. What a powerful statement. Jesus told this story for the specific purpose of teaching a lesson to a group of people who had too much confidence in themselves. As Dr. Wayne Oates would say, these were people who wore the mask of self-assurance. You see, when Jesus told this parable, he wanted to teach a whole lot more than just a lesson about prayer. His main point, in fact, was not about prayer. It was about pride, overconfidence, self-absorption, thinking of ourselves more highly than other people. We know that the Pharisees of Jesus' day had many, many spiritual problems, but at the very top of the list, at the top of their spiritual issues and problems, was this idea of self-assurance, how they viewed themselves compared to other people. They believed that they were better than everyone else. They were more important than those around them. They wore this mask of self-assurance, and the mask said to everyone around them, "I am an important person. I am more important than you. I am a Pharisee." Now, Paul, one who was a former Pharisee himself, knew all about this attitude. In fact, he wrote about this attitude several times. He wrote about it in the passage in Galatians that Dr. Hamilton read for us earlier in our service for this morning. And you remember that line that was in that scripture reading where Paul wrote, "If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." In other words, you're just fooling yourself if you think you're better than other people. In another letter, 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote something similar. Listen to these words. "But when they measure themselves by one another," Paul wrote, "and compare themselves to one another, they are without understanding." So let's be very clear this morning. We are not talking about having confidence in yourself. As Jessica and the children talked earlier this morning, God created each one of us to be a very unique individual. And God wants us to feel good about the talents and gifts and abilities that God has given to us. God has created a very unique place in this world for each one of us. And God wants us to use our gifts and ability in a way that we feel good about and that we feel strong about and that is positive in this world. That's confidence. That's feeling good in who God has made you to be. There's nothing wrong with that. But the danger comes when we begin comparing ourselves to others. That's when we begin to wear the mask of self-assurance. When we think we are better than someone else, that's not confidence, that is overconfidence. That's wearing the mask of self-assurance. It is a dangerous, destructive way to live. Here is Dr. Oates' depiction of such a person. See if it sounds familiar. See if it sounds like someone you know, or maybe even some things that you might see in yourself at times. Dr. Rhodes says people who wear the mask of self-assurance, quote, "wish little or nothing from others, expect that which gratifies their own appetite and praise and confirmation for their own superiority. They live a self-admiring way of life. They despise weakness and dependency," that we talked about last week. "They draw their security and satisfaction from being above the crowd, disdainful of and superior to other people, stronger, brighter, more beautiful, wealthier, less fallible, and certainly more important than others. They live a self-absorbed, narcissistic lifestyle." That word, narcissistic, or narcissism, is so important. That word is psychology's way of describing someone who wears the mask of self-assurance. Narcissism comes from Greek mythology. You may well remember the story as it is told in Greek mythology. Narcissus was an extremely attractive and handsome young man. And a young girl named Echo fell in love with Narcissus. But Narcissus was focused only on himself. He was full of pride. He played it cool with Echo. He kept her at a distance and pulled his love back from her, never sharing what she wanted and needed. Before long, Echo wasted away, and according to the story, she died because Narcissus paid her no attention and kept his love away from her. But that was not the end of the story. Nemesis, who is the goddess of justice, Nemesis is the one who repays everyone in full for the evil that they do to others. Well, Nemesis, this goddess of justice, saw what Narcissus did to Echo, and so Nemesis caused Narcissus to fall in love with his own image as he saw it reflected in a pool of water. He became obsessed with himself. He became consumed with his own image, and eventually Narcissus was changed into the flower that bears his name. Do you know someone like that? Someone who is obsessed with themselves. Does someone come to mind when you think of this image? Someone who is self-absorbed. Someone who damages their relationships with others because of the mask they wear in their lives. See, this kind of self-absorption, this kind of focus only on me, well, it's natural and normal when we are babies, when we are born into this world. It's a normal part of being born and coming into consciousness that we are an individual. I heard one physician describe an infant in this way, saying, he has a ravenous appetite at one end and a total sense of irresponsibility at the other end. I'll not elaborate on that description, but you get the idea, right? But even youngsters in their early years, they hold on to this sense of self-absorption. The world is all about me. It's part of being a young child. It's part of growing into adulthood to realize that is not the case. But sometimes we carry over that feeling from our young childhood years into our adult years. And when we see teenagers and young adults and older adults with this kind of self-absorbed, narcissistic point of view, it's no longer cute or darling or sweet. Let's be a little more specific. When a person wears the mask of self-assurance, what exactly does it look like? Well, the person wearing this mask is a masker of exaggeration of their own accomplishments. They arrogantly overstate their talents. They pretentiously show off a blatant self-cockiness. And the capacity for self-evaluation or self-criticism is totally absent. But there's more. They use other people to indulge in their own desires. In their minds, they are entitled individuals. They believe that what others do for them is only what they deserve and what they are entitled to. Dr. Oates says, expecting a self-assured person to show genuine gratitude or to do favors in return in life is like expecting a person who has no arms to shake hands with you or to give you a hug. Essentially, these individuals, from a spiritual perspective, they lack the awareness of grace. They have an incapacity for gratitude. Augustine, the great early Christian thinker, wrote a description of such people hundreds of years ago. He was writing about good people versus bad people, and here's what Augustine said. He said, good people use the world to enjoy God, whereas bad people use God to enjoy the world. This was Augustine's way of saying that people who wear the mask of self-assurance seek to control God. It simply does not occur to them that they should yield control of this world over to God. Such self-assured people are generally unimpressed with the pedestrian achievements of other people. Remember the prayer of the Pharisee in our text for today. Thank God I am not like these other people, especially this guy standing over here beside me. The Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Psychology states that such people, quote, disregard the personal integrity and rights of other people. From a spiritual perspective, The key issue we're talking about this morning is pride. Here are some possible signs that you or someone you love is operating from a place of pride. Refusing to listen to advice from other people. Thinking that you do not need constructive criticism or feedback. A false sense of entitlement. Blaming others for mistakes, never admitting that you are wrong. Being wrapped up in titles or positions. Obsessed with wealth or appearance or notoriety or possessions. Failure to see your own weakness, but always seeing the faults of others. Manipulating to gain one's own way or agenda. Believing that you're always right about everything. Being more concerned about your reputation, what others think of you, than your character, who you really are. Wanting to be served rather than serving others. If that sounds familiar, these are signs of pride invading our lives. It can happen to anyone. 60 years ago, 1961, the golfer Arnold Palmer was already holding two Masters Tournament championships under his belt, and he was on the verge in 1961 of winning a third Masters championship. He was one stroke ahead of Gary Player as he went to the 18th hole. He had a fabulous drive. He had an easy chip shot and putt to win the Masters. But as he walked to his ball that was in the fairway, one of his friends was over on the side and called him over to him. And he reached out his hand to Arnold Palmer and he said, "Congratulations." And Arnold Palmer shook his hand, assured that he would win. But on his next shot, his ball sailed right into the sand trap. And a bad hit and a missed putt later, Palmer had lost the 1961 Masters. Later in his career, he was asked about that tournament, about that last hole. Here's what he said. "As soon as I shook my friend's hand, I knew I'd lost my focus. I became prideful." Over the course of his incredible career, Palmer won 62 PGA Tours, 4 Masters, 3 PGA Championships, and many, many other awards. And you might think, how could Arnold Palmer, at the height of his prime, lose the Masters so easily? He said it was due to one factor: pride. He shifted his focus away from the game and onto himself, and at that moment, it was all over. This morning, if you recognize pride in your life, if you recognize it in the life of a loved one or a dear friend, there are some things that we can do to try to remove this mask of self-assurance from our lives. One, focus on expressing gratitude. Focus on expressing gratitude. Henry Ward Beecher said, "A proud person is seldom a grateful person, for proud people never get as much as they think they deserve." Saying thank you takes our eyes off of ourselves. It puts our eyes and our focus back on the blessings that we have in our lives, on all that we have received. The mask of self-assurance says, "I should have everything because I deserve it." Gratitude changes our perspective. Second, serve others. Pride fights against the willingness to be a servant. We said that earlier. Instead, the proud person demands to be served by other people, but serving someone else requires that we focus on that person's need, not on our own needs. Remember, Jesus himself gave his life in service for other people, that's where we find the ability to take off this mask of self-assurance that we so easily put on. And in that service, that is where we find God and grace. Third, laugh at yourself. Learn to laugh at yourself. For some, this is easy, right? But not for the prideful person. There's an old adage, an old saying that says, "Blessed are they that laugh at themselves, for they shall never cease to be entertained." There's a lot of truth in that. People wearing the mask of self-assurance take themselves so seriously that, guess what? They miss grace that is found in laughter. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "True humility is not thinking less of ourselves, it is simply thinking of ourselves less." Humility redirects our view from ourselves to those around us and toward God. We start to see ourselves in an honest light. We begin to desire community. We begin to open up to the direction that God has for our lives. Let me ask you, aren't you tired of trying to do everything yourself? Don't you get weary focusing on and trying to hold up your life on your own? The mask of self-assurance centers everything on me. That's a stressful way to live. Pride puts everything on my shoulders, saying, "You have to handle everything." It is not allowing God to run the show. We know the reality. God is in control of everything. So we can keep trying all we want to manage and control everything in our lives, and we'll continue to be tired and exhausted and weary, or we can take off that mask and give that to God. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." Proverbs 20:24 reminds us, "The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way?" When you hear those words, don't you just feel the pressure and heaviness and burdens of this life falling away? Doesn't life just feel a little lighter? A little more joyful, a little easier? The mask of self-assurance is a silent, sneaky killer. It kills your spiritual growth. It kills your relationships with other people. And the scary thing is, often we don't even know that we're wearing this mask. In one translation of the Bible, Jesus says in Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28, "Are you tired? Are you burned out? Are you burned out on religion? Are you worn out? Come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely." In James chapter 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Where is grace? Were it not for grace, we heard, where is that grace? It is given to the humble. If you are here this morning and you recognize yourself or others around you wearing the mask of self-assurance, don't feel discouraged. So many people wear this mask. Recognizing this mask in our lives is a huge part of the battle. This morning, the good news is that we can take it off. We don't have to wear this mask. We can receive the grace of God. We can let that grace wash over us and make us as white as snow. For remember, God gives grace to the humble. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, in the difficulties of this world, we often try to put on so many different masks to protect ourselves and to try to make life easier, but what we find is it makes life more difficult. What we find is that grace is harder to experience and to feel. And we sometimes feel a barrier between ourselves and you. Lord, this morning, help us to recognize places in our lives and in the lives of those around us that distract us from the life that you want us to live. And Lord, bless us with your grace as we seek to follow your pathway in life and allow your control to rule over everything. So lead us and guide us, Lord, and we pray this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.